Welcome back to Made in the 80s, podcast about the 80s by people who were made in the 80s. I'm your host, Leah. I was made in the 80s. Who else we got?
Tim.
Tim was made in the 80s, forged in the 80s.
Forged in the 80s.
I was made in the 80s.
Who are you?
I'm Kendon.
Kendon! This is the Made in the 80s crew. And this week's topic, I think, is a very exciting one. This is a favorite of many. It's on my list of top films, and that is The Breakfast Club, 1985.
1985.
This is our first Molly Ringwald.
I'm surprised it's our first Molly Ringwald.
I know. We're taking our time. Also, I've been nervous about getting into these because I know that people love this movie, and I'm nervous. I want to make sure, you know, they like what we produce here.
Mm-hmm.
But first, what's the news?
You guys have any news?
I don't have any news.
I have a bit of ridiculous news.
Please.
That I want your comment on, Tim, in particular.
Yeah.
So I guess there's a rumor running around that Michael Bay and Ryan Reynolds, they have a new Netflix movie, and people think it might be an undercover Thundercats movie.
Thundercats. I don't know how you do that
without people knowing.
I have no idea. It sounds dumb. Also sounds like a bad idea.
Is it Michael Bay? Is it that why he's a bad idea?
Oh, yeah, it is. So he hasn't been involved in the G.I. Joe movies, right? He's just Transformers and Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
I think they could do it. I think they could.
No.
No.
No, the Thundercats do not translate into live action. Just don't do it.
Okay.
Didn't you see Saturday Night Live?
No.
Yes,
I did. It was Panthro. That was funny.
Everybody, one of our cats is named Panthro as well.
As is a car.
As is my car. I've got the custom plates. But no, I don't think it can translate well. Like, not unless they're wearing suits or something. Like, the Black Panther suit makes sense, but these guys are supposed to be... like the Ninja Turtles, essentially?
Michael Bay doesn't do anything subtle, so I don't trust him to do it. Everything he does is loud and big. And I don't know if the Thundercats are loud and big.
So, anyways, I'm really hoping that it's not. And, it's interesting, though, because Thundercats is coming back into the public consciousness again because they have a cartoon coming out called Thundercats Ho, which is, I think...
Thundercats? No. Ho! Sorry.
Go Superman ahead. That? No. So it's kind of a sillier version, kind of like what do you call it? Teen Titans Go compared to like another Teen Titans.
Yes.
So, I don't know, some people are upset about that. I don't care. It seems like it might be fun. Hopefully it just keeps Thundercats around.
Because that's what you want?
Sure, why not?
You want it just around for someone good to pick it up and actually do something good with it.
Sure, Teen Titans Go looked fun. Like, I wanted to kind of see that movie. Like, it's not such a precious property to me. I mean, like, I really like their original designs, and that's why I have a bunch of the statues and stuff based off of that. But it doesn't mean that something can't change. This is funny, because earlier today, Tim and I were having a conversation about Kamikaze, the new Eminem album.
Oh, yeah.
And how some people maybe just aren't okay with letting things change.
Mm-hmm.
And Eminem is somehow became... I mean, not somehow. Time happens, but he's the old man yelling, get off my lawn. Why don't you guys want complex wordplay like the music I grew up on?
Mm-hmm.
And the younger people just like, bro, we don't care.
I like complex wordplay.
Yeah, we're the generation that does.
Sure.
So just deal with
but
that.
Also, it's still me. There.
For you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still there.
Just do it.
Yeah, like, there's only more musicians in, like... There's got to be a Spotify playlist that you'll find people.
Go to Apple Music, get their essential albums.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I'm not talking about just even old music.
Yeah.
Like, there's new lyricists out there.
Yeah.
But, sorry, they're not on the radio anymore.
Huh? Yeah, they're not on the radio. But the lyricists, the music is easier to find than it was.
Yeah.
10 years ago, 20 years ago.
So anyways, one way to make yourself less relevant is yelling about why people don't find what you used to do relevant now. Like I said, BE-40.
Not to be confused with EZE.
Shalia was very confused. I was like, okay. Oh, E-40. I was like, E-40's. I was like, E-40's been rolling with it, you know, every time, you know, he's just, whatever new artist, just he just does music. She was like, but isn't he dead? And I was like, wait, when did you think he died? And she was like, what'd you say?
And straight out of Compton. And
straight out of Compton. I was like, what?
Yeah, that happened this week. So.
Okay. Well, what have you guys been watching?
So we should do Straight Out of Compton at some point. That fits.
Yeah. What I'm watching also fits with a little bit of news that I can share. So this week, we're recording this mid-September, and we had a film festival this week, which is the Seattle Cinerama did the 70mm film festival, mm-hmm. and we went this year, Ken and I just went, and we saw Top Gun.
Do you want to explain what that is, the festival?
It's a festival where they play a whole bunch of films in 70mm, and the Cinerama screen is huge, so it's I don't actually know what 70mm is.
Yes, can you? I was actually about to ask Tim.
For me, can you actually explain what it means to me? Screen.
Like, I don't even really.
What do you mean?
What does it mean? That wasn't originally in 70mm. Because something about what the guy said at the opening is like they up transferred it to 70mm.
Yeah.
So what does 70mm even really mean?
For film, just the kind of film they're using, the cameras and all that.
What is the millimeter? Like, 35, what's 35 millimeter? Of it?
I have no idea why they would do a film festival of it. People like it. Film purists love it. And I don't know why.
Is it because, it looks like it's way
was all like, were all movies before digital on 70 millimeter?
I don't know if they're all on 70 millimeter.
Right, so there's something significant about, to a cinephile, about 70 millimeter?
I don't know why that is. I don't know. I honestly don't know.
How are you not our Wikipedia right now?
I don't know. I have no idea why people love it. They do.
They do. There's a lot of people there. Well, and
a lot of people love Top Gun, though.
I was there for the movie itself, yeah. And I'm excited because there is a whole... So this festival includes a lot of 80 movies, including Back to the Future 2, Indiana Jones, I forget which one. There were more than a few.
It might have been The Last Crusade, which is what I really like.
There were Tron. We loved that one.
Oh, there is a picture of Shalia and I standing next to the costume for one of the enforcers from Tron.
Has that been there?
They
rotate.
They rotate every 3 months or something.
Okay.
Because they had they've had like Star Trek movie ones, and they had Blade Runner stuff. They had
Vader's in there.
I have not seen Vader.
I saw Vader.
Really?
The Riddler was in there.
Thriller?
No, the Riddler.
Oh. Thriller would have been cool, too.
Yeah, so that was what I've been watching this week. It was really an amazing experience. Like, as we were leaving, I was like, this is my favorite thing I've ever done in my life. It was really cool to see Top Gun on the big screen. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize it. I've never seen Top Gun on the big screen, but I've been watching it since I was 3 years old. And so it was amazing.
So he is not prone to hyperbole at all.
So...
The greatest thing is, the wedding.
Oh, sorry, baby. I don't mean to insult you. Right. This is my favorite thing I've ever done in my life, is watching Top Gun on the big screen. So the news is that John Hamm and Ed Harris will co-star in Top Gun 2, because Top Gun 2 is coming out. And I am worried about this.
Why?
Top Gun 2 coming out. Because Top Gun 1 is so good.
It's still there.
It's still there.
Nothing's going to happen to Top Gun 1.
You're right. This is an irrational fear. It is very irrational. All right in the end. You'll be fine. Will still be Top Gun.
If Top Gun 2 is good or bad, Top Gun 1 is still great.
Thank you for that. It's true. My other thing is, like I said, we're recording this mid-September, and it will be released a bit later. But, Tim, you said it's Batman Day. What is Batman Day?
Do you recognize Batman, the character?
Why?
Because he died for our sins.
Why does Batman...
Why this day?
I think it might be the day that the first character dropped.
This is really interesting because there is also a local Comic-Con happening right now, and we had proposed to do Batman from the 80s. The other thing I'm watching is I'm still watching Forged in Fire. I talked a little bit about it last week on Predator because of the blades and the disembowelment and things, but I really like this because the contestants on this show are folks who I don't think I will come across in my normal circles. The judges are interesting people, and then the host is like hilarious. Second season, he's got long hair. It's a really funny show, but I'm becoming a knife expert. I now know, not an expert. Let's dial it back. I am becoming familiar with blades and knives and how they work.
Wait, you know what blades don't do? Pay taxes.
Ooh. Too soon. Too soon.
Oh, he's out of prison now, isn't he? Oh,
yeah, he's making movies.
He's making movies. Yes. It's all good.
I love him. I love him. Yeah, so anyway, it's really cool. Like, I know what a Bowie is versus a Kemper knife. It's fun. Anyway, I suggest people watch it. It's on Hulu. Mm-hmm. All right, now, what are you guys watching?
Thinking about the trailer for Captive State, the new sci-fi movie coming out.
I have not heard about this.
It's about aliens taking over the world.
I somehow started watching that trailer. The trailer's effective because you don't know it's aliens until the end.
And it seems it talks about like crime being down and no pollution and no world hunger and be thankful. And these people are all in this arena thinking like they're here to
it's give fascism.
They're there to give thanks.
It's and straight up fascism.
And then you see the ship come over like Soldier Field.
Oh.
And also you see that no one can play football on that field.
Sorry, this is I'm I know this is your but mm-hmm. I don't think he's quite getting across how much. You don't know. It's like a 2-minute trailer.
Yeah.
You don't know it's aliens to the last like 10 minutes. It really just seems like the United States has gone all the way down the fascist road. And it's not just, oh, there's no crime. It's the voice is talking about, I don't know if it's a government voice or crime is non-existent. And you're looking at crime happening. Poverty has been taken care of. People living in the most like shitty poverty sort of situations. Right. So it's kind of like that double speak. Like non-truths or post-truth or whatever, like sort of fascism thing. Fake and news. Then you start to see people in this stadium there to give thanks to whatever another. And you're like, oh, shit's gone crazy. And then a spaceship starts to fly over.
What's the name of this again?
It's called Captive State. It comes Captive out State. In March.
Is it a movie or a show?
It's a movie.
Maybe the aliens are coming to save
them. No.
It's Vera Farmiga. Machine Gun Kelly is in this movie.
Speaking of Eminem.
John Goodman, Kevin O'Connor, and Ashton Sanders, who you guys all know from Moonlight, who played these. He was in the second act. He was the teenager.
We're getting a lot of Chirons around, yeah. Huh?
Yeah, so it's set in Chicago, and it's nearly a decade after the alien occupation, and so you're looking at both sides of the conflict, the collaborators and the people who are fighting against them.
There was, like, a USA show?
Yeah, The Colony, which was terrible.
I gave it a couple of...
They tried it.
Okay,
will
so
this be
it
better
didn't,
in, yeah. like, one set movie versus trying yes. to make a show of it?
It depends on how you tell the conflict. It can be.
I do like the idea of... Go ahead.
Of the idea that it's set 10 years into it. It tells me you can pick up
well, what's conflict. Interesting is the idea of just, like, any regular invasion, like the Nazis mm-hmm. or the Soviets, the collaborators.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're straight-up people who will go with whatever in the new power structure is. So I think that's that was an interesting idea about Colony too, even though it didn't turn out great. But there's a show from back in the 90s that was created by Gene Roddenberry who created, he was dead at the time, but he was credited as a creator. He's the creator of Star Trek, called Earth Final Conflict.
I know that. Yeah.
Yeah, and that one was a little bit different. It's like these aliens showed up, and they were able to offer enough that it was less of an invasion as much as a soft takeover. But there was definitely like people who worked for them. Well, V is more... In V, they're more antagonistic, right? Mm-hmm. These guys, I mean, as the show went on, you basically found out they needed humanity because humanity's prolific enough, and they don't... The aliens aren't able to reproduce as fast or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they are fighting a war against somebody else. So they're basically enlisting foot soldiers. Wanting to use humans like as foot soldiers. So
what's the one where they're hiding in the mountain with a mirror covering it? So they can't see them from the sky. And like half the people are no longer real people. And they like have aliens in them. Never mind.
It's a show?
It was a movie.
I mean, are you talking about Battlefield Earth?
I was wondering if maybe I'm talking about The Host.
Oh, yeah, The Host. That's a terrible movie. Jesus,
oh, my God. Nice pull. Didn't we watch that together?
Yeah, that movie was terrible.
That was like a YA movie.
Yeah, it's a YA novel.
Yeah.
Oh.
That movie was so good.
I didn't hate
Shalia, it. Shalia, you got me to watch that. We you sat and watched that.
I didn't hate it.
Oh, God, it was so bad.
Okay, I thought it might be similar, but continue.
Were there aliens in that?
Yeah, there were aliens. There's alien people.
Oh, oh right. Over. Was oh, what was her name? Like blonde chick. Not Kate Blanchett. No, but she was like super happy. Kate Winslet.
Maybe.
No, find out.
By she is super happy. I mean, everybody who has the alien in them is all of a sudden super content.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow, Saoirse Ronan was in this.
Sounds right.
Diane Kruger, Max Irons, Rachel Roberts.
I didn't mean to put us off track. I thought I was...
Well, adding... I kind of took us off as well, because Tim was just talking about the trailer, but the trailer was very effective.
Okay. Well, so when does this come out?
Early next spring.
Okay. Spring 2019. Kendon, what about you? What are you watching, thinking about doing?
Well, since I wasn't sure when to bring this one in, but since you brought in Top Gun, which I believe we'll do as an episode soon, considering we just watched
it. Oh, it's in the box. We just haven't decided when.
No, very soon. I just watched that movie.
Okay.
I need it's hot on my mind.
It was so good.
Yeah, don't... Hey, no spoilers.
Okay.
I was traveling recently for work. And I was on the plane and I realized on my laptop I had some random files for some movies, including The Minority Report. So I sat and I watched The Minority Report.
Tom Cruise is a star.
He's going to take my lines out right out of my mouth. Okay, I was watching it and I was like, God damn, he's good.
He's so good.
And this was before rewatching a couple days ago Top Gun with you.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen the new Mission Impossible.
You gotta do that.
But he's... So, for people who don't know about the Minority Report, quick synopsis is essentially, it's not quite near future. It's maybe like 50 years in the future. This movie came out in like 2002, mm-hmm. I want to say. After some crazy drug epidemic, of some future sort of drug or whatever, some of the junkies, some of the female junkies have given birth to children that they call precogs, who are able to, like, experience future events, but it's more like nightmares to them. And so three of them are basically stolen and used by the government. One of them you find out is stolen. The other ones were more like acquired. And they're put in, they're called precogs, and they're used for what's called a pre-crime division in Washington, D.C., where crime, or not crime, homicide is virtually non-existent because these beings are able to essentially experience and witness that a murder is going to happen before it does. And pre-crime is all set up to basically interpret their thoughts and then go and find these people right before they commit the murder. So this is one of those sort of, and arrest them and then imprison them for the future murder of so and so. So this is one of those movies where I think that I don't agree with the premise off the bat, and then the rest of the movie, once I'm over that, the rest of the movie is amazing. I find philosophically the idea of ever punishing somebody for something that they have yet to do is like reprehensible. Like, it's not something you can defend. And throughout the movie, they do kind of cast some doubt on that too. The Minority Report is the pre-crime division has to basically act like it's infallible. Mm-hmm. Like there's this is a perfect system. It's a perfect system. And the Minority Report refers to if one of the precogs has a different interpretation of what happens in the future than the other ones do.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's not clear. I mean, I think that's the basis. Like what you're saying is you don't agree in general. But if it was perfect, if it was absolutely something you could rely on saying, yes, they are saying this is what's going to happen. This person has set it up. They are on their way to go kill somebody. You're saying you don't agree with them being stopped and or you're fine with them stopping it, but not being punished for it.
Yeah,
but
so here's the thing.
We also have attempted murder.
That's what I was about to say. Yeah. If a cop sees me, And I mean, excuse me. If a cop sees somebody walking down the street, they look a little bit like suspicious. They're holding their arm a certain way. They're gonna go into a liquor store or something, and they stop them before they rob the liquor store. Like, and there's enough probable cause or whatever. They were gonna rob the liquor store, but they did not go able to go through with it. Like, you have like attempted robbery, right? You have attempted murder. You have things that you were in the process of doing but did not complete.
Yeah, that's not exactly your description, but yes, in terms of it was, the idea.
I guess my point is the events were going into were playing out such that a certain thing was going to happen, and like it didn't happen, or the police intervened. Then you're not guilty of the murder because it didn't happen.
Right, you're guilty of trying to.
Right. And I think that's okay, but maybe it's just semantics, but they are arresting people and charging them with the future murder of somebody as if that is a determined event. There is a kind of interesting part at the beginning when Colin Farrell's character, who comes in from the Justice Department to basically do an audit before they allow this this program to roll out throughout the country, and so he was talking about predetermination, and Tom Cruise rolls a ball along the desktop, and Colin Farrell catches it. And he's like, "Why'd you do that?" And he's like, "Because it was going to hit the ground." But he's like, "It didn't, because you caught it." So
it wasn't ever going to hit the ground.
Was it? Yeah. Was it ever going to hit the ground? I don't know. But then there's, you know, because it's a good Spielberg movie, there's like themes of choice, yep, and destiny and all of this other, not,
and he gets new eyes.
Like, this is a good, really, really, yeah, good movie.
He's that really gross sandwich.
Oh, yeah. Ugh. And then the milk. He washes it down, ugh, with the milk. I love the guy who does the eye surgery on him, because he's just like, "Sniffle, man." And he's like, "Don't worry about it. The antibiotics I put in, like, I could, like, poop in your..." I don't know what he says. Like,
yeah, you'll be fine. It's, you'll, gross,
be fine. And then his nurse just has that giant mole on her face.
It's a good movie. People should watch it. And you're glad that you randomly came across it again.
I really... like, I was wrapped up in that story.
One thing that you also mentioned was how... watching it, the tech, like, that was one of the ones where it was very futuristic technology, where he's like moving screens and looking at them, and like taking windows and swiping them away and pulling up another one. And didn't you make a comment about like how we're getting there?
Yeah, it was some of it.
Total Recall. People Total Recall has a lot of tech we use now.
Within the like the tech community, that's one thing that gets criticized a little bit, because you don't want to wave your arms in the air. So the way they have it up in the air wouldn't necessarily be very convenient. But on a flat surface, absolutely. Like, in fact, Westworld kind of has some aspects of that, where they'll swipe something towards another person's device and it slides into their mobile device. But, like, what were we talking... Another one we were talking about is when he... They have it set up that everybody's been retinal scanned. And it's, like, illegal for you... not to have been retinal scanned. So like the drug dealer that he gets his drugs from has taken his eyes out, and he's like, you know, in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king or whatever. So he can't be identified based off of, I don't know. I didn't really think that guy was that clever for taking out his eyes just so that they couldn't tell who he was. He didn't replace him with new eyes, is the point. But anyways, the fact that everybody has their eyes, their retinal scans on file means that when they walk into the mall, little things read their eyes and start giving targeted advertisements to them.
Mm-hmm. That's not that far off. I mean, in terms of like RFID, the different things that you have, like they're scanning you, they're reading you.
Like, your phone listening to you and giving you ads.
Well, I open my phone already with my face.
You do. I don't know. I don't know why you would want to do that.
What?
He uses his face to open his phone.
I don't know why I wouldn't. At this point, I mean, you look at your phone and you have a front-facing and a rear-facing camera.
Yeah, why do you think it's not already happening is the question.
Yeah.
Why would you assume it's not happening?
Here's the thing. There's a difference between it happening against my permission and me saying I'm fine with that. I don't think it's happening, but if it is, I'm going to sue you.
What will be your concern with it happening? Okay, say you're using your retinal scan.
What's
your concern?
I don't want my phone turning on just by it seeing my face. I don't want that. Okay. I don't want it off. Yeah, and that's what I'm saying is I don't know why you do that.
Face is one thing that is out there no matter what. Like, there are images of me. I'm actively putting up images of myself out. And so are you. Like, that's much less
something. Someone uses information against you?
I think that somebody's going to use, like, get into your phone.
But they could get into your phone back when it was a passcode.
Yeah, they could. I wouldn't use my face
for it. Yeah. What happens when it locks? I got to find your face again?
Yeah. It's not going to lock. They're going to, like, kill me and then use my face.
That's
how people
don't care about it. They're not going to kill you for your fucking phone.
Open. They might. They might, like, stick me up and say, give me your phone. Then give me your phone. No. And they kill me.
Your phone is like 4 years out of date. Why are you giving your life for that
phone? If you had the newest iPhone, you give them your phone.
Yeah.
I'm not giving them my phone. Shalia, give them your phone. My phone has information on there I don't want them to have.
They can't give it.
Like what?
Like my bank accounts.
They can't close your bank account.
I won't know that I'm going to get held up that day.
As soon as somebody takes your wallet and or phone,
someone has a weapon.
You go and cancel those cards.
Someone has a weapon. They're threatening to kill or harm you for your phone. You give them your phone. It's not that serious.
I'm going to swing my bag at them.
Don't do that.
Fight. No. Like David LaRosse taught me some
self-defense. Yeah, don't do that.
Don't call out people's... You're going to beep that name, right?
Yeah. No. He taught me self-defense. And then
you regularly try it on me. You say, okay, do this. You try it on me. It doesn't work, or I respond. Yeah, and you said, you're not supposed to do that.
Well, I mean,
that right there, you're not supposed to do that, is why you don't know self-defense.
Thank God. Like, we're all in a place in our lives where we can replace the things that are stolen from us.
Yes.
Yeah.
So let's be thankful for that.
And I'm glad we had this discussion.
And not put our lives on a line for material shit we could replace. I have phone insurance. I'm good.
We have to also acknowledge that Shalia has a storage problem. Because if you had all your phone always backed up, then it's really just a shell.
Not backed up. I get the thing all the time of you haven't backed up.
So when you get your new phone, we're going to make sure.
Why don't you plug it into a computer and back it up?
It's that easy. Just plug it in. Back it up.
She runs a podcast and a social media account for a podcast. She edits this podcast, uploads it, and yet in some ways, she's still a Luddite.
What did you just call me?
A Luddite.
What is that?
It's somebody who's like not okay with technology.
So when you get this, when you upgrade your phone, we're gonna work on making sure you do this regularly.
Yeah, like you've been able to back up the sort of phone you have since we had iPods since 2000. It's been a decade that this same thing. You plug the phone into the laptop and you say update or back up.
I do save my pictures occasionally. but usually it's because the storage is so full that I have to then take them off my phone so that I can take new pictures, which I'm going to be doing soon. Okay, so Kenan watched the Minority Report. I'm happy for you. Congratulations. That's a good...
Sorry, it's not somebody who doesn't know technology. It's somebody who's opposed to technology.
You are both, actually. Maybe I'm mixed, my race. Okay, what are we talking about this week? Did you talk about... Yes, you've watched that trailer. I talked about mine. Kenan talked about his. We all got a turn. All right. Now, we are finally talking about The Breakfast Club.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be confused with The Babysitter's Club.
I wasn't going to do that.
Nope.
Not to be confused with The Breakfast Club. So...
Not to be confused with Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but The Breakfast Club. So...
Is there another movie just called The Breakfast Club?
No, there's The Breakfast Club.
The show. The radio
so
show.
So we were talking to a mutual friend recently, and we were like, hey, do you know have you seen The Breakfast Club? And he's like, yeah. And we were both, I think, Tim, you were surprised. I was surprised. I was like, oh, really? You have seen this recently?
He was talking about Charlie
He's like,
Maine.
Very, yeah. He's like, hey, yeah. Yeah, of course. I didn't know The Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
You want to come be our guest for The Breakfast Club? Yeah, he's not talking about Breakfast Club.
Who is this?
It's our friend.
Who's here last week?
He's going to help us with some media stuff going forward. But anyway, it was just kind of funny because it was like, yeah, you're right. That is what I would, if somebody had randomly asked me about Breakfast Club, I think I would have thought of our current day Breakfast Club.
Those contexts are so separate that I never even put it together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Okay. So, The Breakfast Club, 1985.
I want to see them in this movie.
Oh, God, no, I do not.
With Joe Budden and Lil Yachty.
Actually, I would watch that. Like how they redid Death at a Funeral. I would watch that. I would absolutely watch that movie. You guys do it.
Nah, you can't make this movie again.
I mean, you can't make the same movie again, but it would be...
It would be funnier.
But I'm saying, okay, so some, like the plot of, you know, a group of kids in detention on a Saturday, go. Like, what happens with among this group? What story are you
telling?
Right, exactly. Like, that is, I think you could, they could do something different than the story that is told in the movie that we're talking about today. But I think you could take that, like, just that setup right there and let them go and see what happens. I think it'd be fun.
Do they take kids' phones away in detention now?
So that's the thing. One of the thoughts about this movie is that it just doesn't happen in today's world because the kids wouldn't end up talking to each other. They would be busy on their phones or doing something different. But I do think that in detention, they don't let you be on your phone. Yeah. So you do end up talking. Okay.
All right, so get this movie.
Well, first, so leading into this movie is 1985.
Right.
We have 16 Candles came out in 1984.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Pretty in Pink coming out in 1986. Mm-hmm. So we've got one movie a year. This is the one in the middle. John Hughes, Molly Ringwald star. Mm-hmm. That's what we're coming into it as now.
So directed by John Hughes.
Yeah.
Who, 16 Candles, as you already mentioned. Weird Science, one of my favorites.
Yes.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off, another one we haven't done yet. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
I love that movie.
She's Having a Baby. Uncle Buck.
All great.
All in the 80s. So John Hughes had quite the run as a director.
And he's a favorite. People love John Hughes.
This is very John Hughes-y, this movie.
Yes.
So
there's Molly Ringwald, but there's also, what's the kid's name? Like the nerdy kid.
So it stars Molly Ringwald, Emilio Estevez, Judd Nelson, Ally Sheedy. I forgot she was in this.
Mm-hmm. And John Capellas.
Paul Gleason's the mean. And John Capellas, who plays Carl.
Is that him? Because he's also in 16 Candles and I think he's also in Pretty in Pink. He's in Weird Science. Isn't he in Weird Science?
I think so.
Yeah. So he's also like, Molly Ringwald is my thought of for these movies in the 80s, but he is also right there with her. Did we call them the Brat Pack?
I remember the Brat Pack.
Was that this? I think that might have been this. Anyway. All right. So that's the makeup. Just who wants to give a summary of what this is about?
I think it's a pretty quick one.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Daycare. Five kids in daycare.
Five kids in daycare.
It's true. That is what it is, right? So five kids go to Saturday school, and then this is the story of them.
Saturday school.
Yeah, that's what they called it. So, there's detention, which I think of as, after school.
Yeah.
And then there's Saturday school Michael where you have to be there the whole day.
Who's in Weird Science.
Oh, okay.
And The Dead Zone and 16 Candles.
What's his name?
Anthony Michael Hall. You guys ever seen Dead Zone?
No. Is it 80s?
Yeah.
If so, we should add it. So, last week we talked about Predator. This week we're talking about 16 Candles. Or, kind of talking about 16 Candles, but we're also talking, our topic is The Breakfast Club. Mm-hmm. Breakfast Club was an hour and 37 minutes. Until I was in mid-college, mm-hmm. my understanding of a movie, like a feature film movie that I go and watch, is that it's an hour and a half. That mm-hmm. movies are 90 minutes long.
Oof.
And that is what my understanding of movies was. And I'm pretty sure it was Kendon, because he likes to correct me, was like, no, they're not. There's no set time that a movie is. And it seems to me like these days, nowadays, take a drink, movies are longer. But this movie and Predator are both within that matrix that I really thought movies were, was an hour and a half. And I think that's the right number.
It depends on the film.
It depends on the film, depends on the story.
Mm-hmm.
But
I feel like I cursed us with this new super long movie thing, because I remember watching The Lord of the Rings or something like that,
mm-hmm.
Back in 2001, 2002, 2003, and I was like, oh yeah, this is great. You can get so much more for nerd movies or whatever, and now it's become standard, and I'm just like, No, if you don't have more stuff, if you don't have more valuable things to say, don't make the movie so long. But I think, like, I'm trying to figure out economically, like, you can, if you don't have it too long, you can fit more screenings and maybe make more money.
Yeah.
But making a 2-hour movie into a 2.5-hour movie probably doesn't cost that much more, edit, because you can just, you have the footage. Mm-hmm. And
you're editing less.
You're just editing out less or whatever. You maybe you film a little longer, but you've already paid your actors. You've already, like, done all the setup.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious why they have leaned towards making these movies longer when, in my opinion, they don't really need to be.
Yeah.
It's a complicated industry.
Okay. So another star of this film is the soundtrack. And it starts with the don't. Don't you forget about me. Such a good, it's such a good, like, takes you to that space. Am I the only one? You guys,
the soundtrack has a completely blank face, passed me by. I don't remember any music from this movie at all.
Oh my gosh. It really is.
I absolutely believe you.
Forget about me. Yeah.
I recognize that song
too.
That's
the opening song, and it's like, you know exactly where you are. So it opens with, so the kids that are at Saturday school, there's a brain, an athlete, a basket case, a nerd, a princess, a criminal. No, the brain is the nerd. And so the idea is they're all in these specific categories of kid and group, but they've been brainwashed. And they learn today that they all have a lot more in common and similarities, and that these groupings that they, these categories that they've have themselves in, are fake, and that you don't have to be that way.
But they learn another important lesson, which is that you can still get the nerd to do your homework for you.
Yeah. So the assignment is that, I guess that's why it's Saturday school, mm-hmm. is that they have to do something. They have to write an essay about who they think they are. And so they have the nerd kid write it for them. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, basically, we don't care who you think we are. We that's the takeaway. It's like, how dare you ask us that?
This movie made me feel too old. It's
very MTV-ish attitude that comes through at the end of the movie.
I was like, what are you talking about? I didn't, whatever they were trying to say just seemed really silly to me. But and also, the other thing I noticed when I was watching this is I felt the worst for the principal. Or for the vice principal.
Whatever he was.
He was, but then once they showed the scenes with him not around, or with the kids not around, you're like, oh, this guy's got to deal with these all week long.
Think about people making these films in the 80s, like, they were children during the Vietnam War. So it would make sense that their films would have these themes about rebellion and not fitting into the norm and rejecting, you know, power structure. And they come out in these 80s films.
And that's what it is. It's like straight up like empowerment for these youth, which is so funny because I'm watching this many years later. It's been a while since I've seen Breakfast Club. Watching it for this episode, I'm like, this is not that epic. You guys just hung out at school and decided to talk to each other. And then, like, at the end, you've got, what's his, Jen Nelson, like, put his fist up in the air. And I'm like, what do you guys feel like you've achieved today?
That's what I'm saying.
Nothing happened.
And then you're assholes, the little, you don't even know your classmates' names. Like, in high school, I knew everybody's name in my class.
No.
I did.
No.
You didn't?
No.
You didn't?
Went to and schools. I didn't.
Maybe.
She went to a big school.
My senior class, I knew everybody's name.
Oh, no.
And these kids, yeah, I did.
Wait, your senior, were they all in the same grade there?
Yes.
No, were they?
Oh, I assumed they were all in the same grade. You're right. Like, one could be like a freshman. And
no, I didn't.
So they're not necessarily. Okay, I feel better about that. But I'm like, you don't know each other's names?
No, I still, my entire senior class, I couldn't have named them all.
Really? You guys might have been at bigger schools than me.
Sure.
I could have named my
class. What do they rate schools by? It's A?
4A.
You were not at a 4A school?
I was, because we played Garfield and beat them.
Yeah, I was at a 4A school. We were all at 4A schools. Mm-hmm. I'm just very skeptical that you knew. I think you just knew everybody who you felt like was worth knowing who they were.
No. I specifically remember senior year and thinking, do I know everyone in our class? And then I went through and was like, yes, I know every single person in our class. Like, I know their name. So what happens? I don't know their names anymore. Yeah. They don't know mine.
What happens in this movie?
So in this movie, they go to detention. They're hanging out in the library, and they are sitting there all day. So they end up talking to each other. So it starts mainly with the criminal played by Judd Nelson. He has got mental health issues, jumping off the walls, cannot sit still, and has got a whole... Apparently, he's being abused at home. He's got an asshole dad, and, like, there's physical violence at home. Yeah. And needs some intervention and is not getting the treatment that he needs. I was thinking that, the way that he's bouncing in that room and can't sit still. Cannot sit still. And is... So he's picking on Molly Ringwald, who's the princess, and I don't know why he's picking on. He's picking on everybody, but he's really picking on her, probably because he's attracted to her. And so then you've got Emilio Estevez, who's always like trying to keep him in line, right? So he's the jock. He's a wrestler, and he's just like, I'm gonna make you stop if you don't stop. So he's the kid who gets good grades and behaves right, but also is there because he picked on another kid because he thought it would be funny and make people proud. Mm-hmm. Molly Ringwald is there for cutting class to go shopping. Mm-hmm. Judd Nelson, I don't remember why he's there, but he's a criminal. That's how they refer to him.
Wait, which one?
Judd Nelson, the bad boy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Did he involve explosives?
I don't think
so. Yeah, they bring it up. Something about an explosive.
He's not a realistic person to me. He's not. Kids do fireworks in school? I mean, maybe cherry bombs in the toilet.
Yes.
I've heard
they
those.
Do. I'm sure they do.
Okay. The brain is there. Brian?
He's the scary one.
He got a C in shop. Was it? No, he's failing. He was failing shop. And so he brought a gun to school. Now,
yeah, you can't do that in 2019.
You know, you cannot do that. And you just go to Saturday school for that. But expelled. What wasn't clear to
there
me...
There you go. You're right. You get expelled now. You don't go to Saturday school.
Yeah, but what wasn't clear to me... Because it goes off in the locker and that's how they find it. Or, no.
It fell out
they
of his locker?
They find it in his locker. But my confusion was like, why did you bring that gun? Because you were going to go tell your teacher you need a better grade. I mean, they kind of implied suicide, but why would you do that at school?
To make a scene. Like, obvious.
Yeah, so he's just had it. So there's that. And then there's, the basket case, who's just there because she had nothing else to do that day, which I love
You know what that reminded me of, though? And I mentioned it when we were watching it, is Helena Bonham Carter from Fight Club.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, just shows up because that's where, I don't know.
Something to do. She was just going to all those self-help groups, right?
Yeah.
Like AA and different ones and listening to people talk about how bad their lives are.
Yeah.
And then, that has to be an influence. Like, that idea, I feel like, because that's literally what this is, right? It turns into like a self-help group.
Like, if they didn't do the makeover, she could grow up to be Helena Bonham Carter.
I mean.
In that movie.
So, there's makeup. Makeover shows and these kind of things. I'm never very clear that the person maintains that look after the one time it happens. Like, you go to prom, you go get your hair done, whatever. The next day, you go back to what you're normally wearing. Everybody, so I wasn't convinced she was.
I used to watch Pimp My Ride and think to myself, like, oh, these people are going to get robbed.
Oh, yeah.
Now they got this nice car. Like,
yeah.
There's got to be a good article or two online about what happened to us. Because those cars were fucked up, most of them.
Yeah, by the end of it? Or no?
No.
No, what, by what they did to those cars.
Yeah.
Like, those cars were garbage. Like, fish tanks. Just in your car.
I kind of liked that.
No, it's fun. And they were clunkers to begin with. But they weren't something like, as an adult, I'd want to be driving around.
So, how old were you guys when you were introduced to the show?
To the movie?
Yeah.
I was young. Yeah. I mean, I was into all those John Hughes films, but this was the first time I actually watched it all the way through.
Okay.
I had never watched it from beginning to end.
Interesting.
I've seen plenty of chunks of it, but never really sat and, like, just watched it.
And what's your impression?
It was less funny than I remember.
Less funny?
Yeah, I went in thinking, like, oh, this is a comedy, because, you know, John Hughes, right?
You thought this was a comedy.
I'm thinking Weird Science, I'm thinking Ferris Bueller.
That's he did funny, Weird Science.
I wouldn't say Pretty in Pink or 16 Candles are comedies either.
Didn't even think about those. I'm thinking about those other movies that I love.
How interesting. And
this will be funny. And I watch it. I'm like, oh, this is super serious and not funny at all.
Yeah. Huh. Kendon, how old were you or when you were introduced to this?
somewhere between 28 and 35.
Oh, really? Very, like, fairly recent. I feel like
I've seen maybe parts of this, but I don't recall sitting through it the way I just did.
Interesting. So of the, for me, of the John Hughes films, I every once in a while would see Pretty in Pink was one, it was like the least. I watched 16 Candles a couple times, but Breakfast Club I was very familiar with. Probably elementary school, maybe. Maybe it was just like on. I don't know why I saw it so much, but I did. I saw it a lot. All the way through. I know this movie fairly well. But my takeaways was always like, this is a mainland school. And it's interesting now watching it, having lived on the mainland for so long. Like, yeah, this is what your library looks like, and it's all white kids. Mm-hmm. And it is interesting. I'll just say that. And it was very, like, that's what the mainland looks like. Between Breakfast Club High School and Saved by the Bell, that was my thoughts on mainland high schools and what they look like.
Saved by the Bell.
Mm-hmm. And what they look like up here. Anyway, all right, so... How do you guys want to talk about this movie? I mean, Tim, so you say it's heavy.
It's not as funny. I don't know if it's heavy. It's just not as funny as I thought it was.
And I think you're right. Like, there are parts of it that are funny. There are parts of it that are light. Like, when they all get high and, like, they're dancing on the railings. They're all comically high. Oh, my God. It was, yeah. There's that part, which is funny. There's the, what else is funny?
The freshman was saying he makes $35,000 a year and he's not going to mess that up for him.
Yeah.
$35,000 a year. I think you're not gonna mess this up for me.
I'm a king, or I'm a something.
When he gets him in, when he has Jed Nelson in the room.
I'm just thinking, $35,000 in, what did this movie come out?
85.
That might have been pretty good money.
Yeah, this is funny to hear now.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that was funny. I liked the janitor was also there. Yeah. And they're just like, I don't want to be like you. How does one become a janitor?
And the janitor saw him, caught him. He was like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Caught him doing through those files.
Yeah, that was cool. He's like, let's just pretend this didn't happen.
Was that one of their fathers?
No.
I don't know where I got that then.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. The
Was he making fun of somebody as having a father who was a janitor?
No.
No.
I think Mr. Vernon at some point said, you're going to end up a janitor.
Yes. To one of the students. I think he might have
said that.
Yeah.
And then he ends up having like a heart-to-heart with the janitor, who I'm pretty sure is the dad from 90210, which is I thought was funny, Mr. Walsh. That was interesting. And I liked his perspective, right? Like Mr. Vernon's like, these kids have turned on me. And the janitor's like, no, they haven't. They're the same. You're the one who's different. Yeah. Stop it. Yeah. I liked that. Like, call them out. The kids, one thing that was interesting was at some point the kids are like, okay, it's lunchtime. Or no, Mr. Vernon's like, all right, it's lunchtime. Okay, and so they all start pulling out their lunch. And Emilio Estevez, as the athlete, has like big old grocery bag full of food and just like item after item because he's got to keep his, what is that called?
Metabolism
up. Got to fuel that body. Friggin' Molly Ringwald has sushi. Like, why?
Which is played like a weird thing.
Well, I don't think it was as common. Like, I have sushi quite often, but I'm laughing because it was like she just had it. She didn't have it like in a refrigerator. Like, it was just out. Like, you just had raw fish just sitting.
Wait, how long can you have raw fish out before it's a problem?
I don't.
Not that long.
I wouldn't.
You think 3 hours is too long?
Yeah, I wouldn't do it.
If I was having sushi for lunch, I wouldn't just have it sitting there.
If you had raw fish and it was warm, you'd be like,
also.
We take poke to the beach, we put it in the cooler. We don't.
I'm going to have sushi after this podcast.
That sounds good to me. I love sushi.
But when you guys took lunch to school, did you not use an ice pack?
Mm-mm. No.
I was having sandwiches and fruit and snacks.
Yeah.
And
I also ended up eating the school
lunch. We would always have these like reusable ice packs that keep things
refrigerated. Yeah, mm-hmm. Futuristic household. Oh. Living in the Jetsons.
Oh, man.
Let's make sure Kenton's food is nice and chilled for you.
It's chilled bananas.
Fuck you guys. We went to Costco. They're at Costco.
I spent days always checking my pocket because lunch was 45 cents and I would have a quarter and two dimes and I would always be afraid that I was going to lose one of them and not have enough for lunch. Jeez. And so all day.
School in 1930s was 45 cents?
Maybe we shouldn't go there. Maybe we shouldn't go there.
I was like,
was it reduced lunch?
No, it was more expensive for me.
I don't know.
It might be reduced lunch. I was on reduced lunch, and it was more expensive than that.
Well.
Yeah, but you're up here.
Yeah,
maybe. Oh, Hawaii is expensive.
Was in Hawaii?
Yeah, I was in Hawaii.
In like, elementary school? Or
elementary school. Oh. And I'm telling you why. Because I would just always check my pocket and be count. Like, 1, 2, 3. I have 3 coins still in here. I will get lunch today. Because I was always very afraid I was going to lose one. Because I'd play on the playground and, like, you know, twirling. So this is the difference between Shalia like and I. Do,
if I was feeling that sort of nervous, it wouldn't be in my pocket.
Thank you.
I would go and tape it into my backpack or something.
In my desk.
No, not my desk. Like, somewhere where but it's like, if I'm like, I'm worried this is going to tumble out of my pockets because I'm doing cartwheels on a regular basis.
You ever go to, like, Six Flags and see shit fly out of people's pockets?
Well, so I once...
It's the best thing about going
there. Well, so...
You're like, hey, watch Batman. Oh, people, cell phones.
Middle school, I was going to the fair where there's, like, the zipper and rides that you're going to go upside down on. And my mom, like, I had, like, a certain amount of cash that I was going to get to take. Like, maybe it's $5 or something, right? Like, some kind of bill that I'm going to take. And I have it in my pocket. And I do remember this, too, in my mom's room. And being like, no, I won't lose this. Like, whatever money amount of money she gave me. And she's like, you're not going to lose it. You're going to secure it. Whatever. You're not going to lose it.
I'm like,
I'm not
going to secure that bag?
Yeah. So I put it in my pocket. And then I proceed to put my feet up on the bed and lay upside down and, like, do all of these different tests to make sure it stays in my pocket while I'm upside down. To make sure.
Tim's eyes popped up from his phone and locked on me like, this one's yours.
Wow.
Yeah, that's
probably a better way to do
that.
Make sure
it was secured that I would be safe.
Do I need to get you, like, a change pouch for Christmas?
Or a chain wallet. Were those in yet?
Well, in this one, yeah. It was like, this was cash. This was not coins. This was cash. But still, cash money. Made sure it wasn't going to fall out of my pants when I was on the zipper and going upside down and all those rides. Anyway. Wow. So, the lunches. Brian has, like, a wonderful, you know, perfect sandwich with a little orange or some kind of fruit. Well-balanced meal. The criminal, what's his name? I keep saying criminal.
Judd Nelson?
Judd Nelson. Yeah.
Wait, that's the actor though, right?
He has no food. Like, that's clear. He's like asking everybody what they have.
John Bender.
Bender. So yeah, he's asking everyone what they have. It's clear he doesn't have any food, which is kind of sad. And then you've got, what's her face?
Claire?
No, the other girl. Claire's the one with sushi.
Allison?
Allison with... She has mixings that she's going to create her. No, she had a sandwich and threw out the meat and then filled it with pixie sticks and some
Captain
kind of
Crunch.
Captain Crunch cereal. And it was like, what is wrong with this kid? I'm like, my thought is I was thinking about like meth head or somebody who's like needs a lot of sweets. Because I'm like, this doesn't make sense.
No, she's just young.
I mean, Kendon used to like, what? White bread with ketchup sandwiches.
Ketchup and mayonnaise, but I was 3.
Yeah. So, four. It was weird. I don't know what was happening there. But what was the message that we were supposed to get from this movie?
I think the final essay about you don't get to define us was the message.
And that's a good thing. That's a good message. Like, if they went in there not knowing that, it's good that they discovered it. What I didn't like was, like, from the beginning, there's rape jokes. Like, that's one of the first things that happens is Bender's talking about close the door so we can rape the prom queen. Like, this is not, I'm uncomfortable. And there's a lot of, like, innuendo there about that. And then there's, I think, a lot of gay jokes, too.
In that story, when Molly Ringwald and what's-his-face, the other girl, are going back and forth. When it happened, she's telling that story, and then she tells her it's not true.
Yeah, that was kind of funny. So, yeah, that one is Allison saying that she is a nymphomaniac.
Yeah.
And that she goes counseling, but she has sex with her psychologist too.
Yeah.
And then is like, it gets Claire to admit that she's a virgin. And then is like, yeah, me too. I was just a liar. I'm just a compulsive liar, which that's one of my favorite.
There were that and all of Bender's... behavior. Both of those were making me think of the Joker. Like, he was kind of like the Joker, and then her, like, just lying and stuff. I was thinking that. You want me to tell you how I got these scars? Yeah, I was recently just, like, watching that movie. So.
Make up some shit.
Yeah. Make up some. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, okay, so they're running through the halls at one point because they decide to follow Bender because they've started talking. It's kind of funny because it's like, we don't like you, but we're going to engage with you anyway.
Right.
But yeah, so they follow him to his locker to get some pot. Mm-hmm. And then they can't go back the way they came because Mr. Verdon's like walking in the halls. Mm-hmm. And so they're just running around. That was kind of a funny scene. Like,
and then Bender distracts them and let them all
get back. Yeah, he does. He sacrifices himself. Mm-hmm.
He sacrifices himself. That's
literally what it is.
I know, but it's played out like this is all like super significant, right?
It's
like,
not.
No,
it's not. It's just.
Although it is funny because he keeps not seeing them. It was kind of like a cartoon. Mm-hmm. Like
yeah. And also Bender's. He's of all the people, Bender's the one you'd expect to see out. So it's not a shocker when the vice principal finds him. In the hallway at the locker.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Pot does not have a subtle smell.
No, that's why he had it in, like, bag after bag like, unwrapping it.
Yeah, they're straight up smoking in an open-air environment.
If you update it, it would be edibles.
Yeah. Or pills.
Or vapes.
It might not be pot.
You do pills. You do the edibles.
You can get away with vapes.
Yeah, but they would do
edibles. No, I think you're right. Edibles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would tie right in with the lunch scene.
Yeah. Everyone's doing edibles. So they accidentally eat some edibles. And
my mommy made me some brownies.
Yeah, I can see the Bender character giving everyone brownies and everyone's high.
Yeah, I can see that. Okay, so that's an interesting thing, too. So they get back in there and it's like, okay, you've got the pot and he's going to go smoke it. And so he's like, I'm doing this. And the rest of them are sitting there. And then Claire is the first one mm-hmm. to get up and be like, I'm in, too. And then Brian mm-hmm. follows. And I don't understand why they did that. Like, do those two smoke regular? Is that the point? Like, yeah, we actually have this in common mm-hmm. that we will get high.
Yeah, this idea that they're all smoking weed all the time. And this is, they've done it.
That's Remember it. The people who made this movie.
Yeah.
We're growing up in the 60s.
Yeah, here you go. Okay, and then Emilio Estevez is like, I'm not doing a roommate thing. But then he also does too. Mm-hmm. Like,
he just comes out of a room baked.
Yeah.
Baked.
And just dancing.
He's super big, bro. It's so funny. It comes out.
It is a funny scene. What's Emilio Estevez's like status at that point? Is he well known? Is this before yeah. or after the Outsiders? Do we know?
After Outsiders.
Okay.
Let's see.
What's the Outsiders about?
Oh my god, the Outsiders is my favorite movie. It's about some kids who are greasers. Versus these like square kids who are like the favorites. You've got like the outlaws versus the like perfect kids, and it's about their lives, and it's amazing.
I remember
and
Young
it's
Guns
starring Tom Cruise and Patrick Swayze and Rob Lowe.
So Outsiders was 83, Nightmares was 83, Repo Man was 84, Breakfast Club 85, St. Elmo's Fire 85. Maximum Overdrive, 86. Wisdom, Stakeout. Jeez, I remember that.
I liked that.
Young Guns, 88.
When was the Mighty Ducks, though?
Young Guns, 290. Minute Work, Free Jack. Mighty Ducks, 92.
And he's famous by then. Now he's a dad.
Yeah. Judgment Night.
No, he's not a dad in that one, though.
No, I mean, but he's dad age in Mighty Ducks. He's taking care of the kids versus he was the kid. Wow. I used to like him a lot. As far as I was concerned.
He
wasn't that buff as far as I was concerned.
No.
But why would he be buff?
Because he was like the star athlete. He's like a machine.
He's a wrestler.
Oh, no. Yeah, he was a high school wrestler.
He looked like a wrestler. Short, stout.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Like a wrestler.
Yeah, no. Kenan wrestled in high school.
He was too tall.
Oh. All right. What else do we want to say about this?
I was going to say... Molly Ringwald playing Claire and Anthony Michael Hall playing Brian were the only two that were age appropriate. The rest of them were like between like 24 and 27.
That makes sense.
The other two are 17.
Why does Molly Ringwald, Claire end up with Bender? What's happening there?
It was all just a bunch of random shit.
And what message is that sending? Like you can be make rapey jokes and it works?
In high school. Maybe. I don't know what was going on because... Also, he was locked in the closet and physically intimidated by the See, I did say that at one point I was sympathetic to the principal, then he turned into a monster.
Yeah.
But, like, this ended with a whole... Well, actually, the fist up.
Yeah.
Right? The Bender and Claire getting together, like, seemed to come out of nowhere.
I forgot that happens.
And then the name of the movie, The Breakfast Club. Was there any reference? They weren't even there at breakfast. They all had lunch together.
I mean, they were there early. It was 7 a.m. that they were getting there.
They all had breakfast before they got there.
Yeah, but yes.
I'm just saying, right. What reference, where did that name come from?
Because they got there at 7 a.m. And that's early in the morning.
No, sir, I don't like it.
Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, does the current day Breakfast Club eat breakfast?
What? No, no.
We're not having Why are they?
No. You can't justify this 1985 movie based off of inaccuracies for some hip hop radio show.
Nope, not having
it. It's what you listen to over breakfast. It's what you talk about over breakfast.
Then they have a more legit reason.
It's all of them having just had breakfast with their parents and meeting their. No, and that's the thing that ties these guys together, right? Is that parents are awful. So then we open up, see them all being dropped off by their parents, except for Judd Nelson, who shows up by himself, walking up, right? And so they've all just had breakfast with their parents, and now they're getting dropped off.
Wait, Judd Nelson had breakfast with his parents?
And now they're carrying what they are thinking about from breakfast into the day with them.
Also, Allison, did she get dropped off?
Mm-hmm.
Did she tell her parents?
She gets out the car and like goes to wave goodbye and they drive off before she can get to the front.
Whoa.
Yeah, they don't care about her. They're not interested.
So did she tell them that she had detention or that she needed to go to school?
Don't know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, because you don't want to say, well, I don't know. I wouldn't want to, even if I'm going to go and do this, I'm not going to be like, I got in trouble.
Right.
Like,
except for she wants attention. Like, she wants her parents to, so she might.
It's a good point.
Sorry, guys, I have to go to detention.
So, influences.
I mean, I know a lot of people, this is a little bit older than me. I think, like, this is for a generation of a few years ahead of me. Mm-hmm. And I think that there are a lot of people I know that are influenced by this movie who love it. People love this movie. Mm-hmm. Like, this is very, I think if you were... And, like, I'd say maybe middle school to high school around this time, like, this is the kid you are in terms of, like, yeah, us. Is my impression. So I think it was influential.
Was that your rebel kid voice?
I think, rebel square kid, right? Like, these kids, none of these kids are really that bad. So, I mean, Jed Nelson's got problems, but... That's a man.
That's abuse.
Yeah.
You know what? I was thinking of, was it 5 o'clock high?
3 o'clock high.
3 o'clock high. Remember I kind of went on a thing about like, why did the bully character have such a problem with being touched and all this other stuff? I was imagining some version of what is going on with this kid.
Yeah.
Like at least in his home life.
Yep. I think that's right. I also think, why would the principal leave those kids alone? I mean, I get that the idea is, or Mr. Vernon, whatever his role is, I get that the idea was the door was supposed to remain open, and so he would be able to hear if anything's happening, but I just don't think you leave kids unsupervised.
No. He's not good at his job.
No. Yeah, he's not good at his job. Or he's done. He's kind of, well, which would lead to the same thing, but maybe he's kind of over it.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, anytime, and yes, I've been in, has anybody here not been in detention?
I don't think I've ever been in detention.
Nor have I.
Oh, I did. I had to, so in middle school, our detention was you had to go scrape gum.
Oh.
That was the job, and I definitely had to scrape gum. I forget why, but yes, I have been in detention.
I would have gotten in worse trouble because I would have refused to do that. There are things I won't do.
I was like, I can get the most gum.
Nah,
you can't. How much can I
scrape? Yeah, see,
how quickly can I fill this bucket?
You can go ahead and put me in a room. I'm not scraping gum. You're not going to humiliate me.
Nope.
I mean, it wasn't during the day. People were.
No, it doesn't matter.
It was not embarrassing.
Nah. No, it's degrading.
Degrading.
It wasn't degrading. It was gross.
It's both. Yeah. It's both.
Both.
I didn't feel degraded.
That's because you turned it into a game.
Yeah. In your head.
In your head.
Still degrading. It's still grinning.
Anyways, so when I've seen other people in detention, the teacher's like in the room. Like,
yeah, you're not
physically
alone.
Facing the, it's like just like a classroom. They're sitting in the front. They would have had, maybe the teacher would go to the bathroom or have to take a call or something like that. But they wouldn't have had all this freedom.
Yeah, well, there's perhaps, no movie if he's in the room.
Perhaps that's an influence. Teachers learned not to leave the kids unattended after the breakfast.
Well, okay, so I'm going to take what she's saying.
And smoking pot.
I'm going to take what she's saying a little seriously. Have there been detentions where it was like, do you think at that time?
I mean, I'd imagine there were a million different schools, a million different populations. I'm sure there's a school somewhere where a teacher has left the room. But I don't think that's the norm.
But, like, he's not just leaving the room. He's actively putting a couple of visual barriers in front of them so that they can get away with shenanigans.
That's part of the movie.
Yeah, it just doesn't... Yeah.
That's there's no movie if that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was influential to me, mostly.
To you? Like, influenced you and the person you are now?
No. A lot of really good gifts come from this film. So that's my influence.
Does it involve Fist?
The Fist one. The one where they're sort of walking and all that stuff. All the stuff when they're high. All those gifts are perfect.
Those are good gifts.
The shades one, we put on the shades.
Yeah.
Perfect gifts. You can find them anywhere. So yeah, Breakfast Club has great gifts.
But agreed. Mm-hmm. People who like The Breakfast Club, when they see those gifts, it means something probably to them, like something specific when you see that reference. Do you think most people who use those gifts, I mean, thinking about the age of this movie,
they don't, right?
Yeah, I was about to say, because the people, like you said, the people who are really going to be into this movie are half a generation older than us.
Yeah, they're not really using gifts like that.
Yeah, they're not passing gifts around like that. Yeah.
Okay. Question. Molly Ringwald puts some lipstick in her cleavage and then puts it on. Like, uses her cleavage to put on lipstick. I didn't understand what the problem with what that was. And, like, Judd Nelson was like, oh, disgusting. And then it turns out he wasn't really disgusted or something. What was that? What was that about? Was that implying something?
Nope.
If you want to go really pornographic, maybe.
I never understood why that was.
It seems... like a stretch for this movie because nothing else really touches anything close to
that. So I said, like the answer seems very pornographic
for a film that doesn't really
exactly
lean into anything sexual like that.
Well, except for rape jokes.
But they're rape jokes. Those are different.
Yes,
I guess
those are different.
They're different, not in a good way.
There was a Jen Nelson called Mr. Vernon a brownie hound. What is that? Is that offensive? I mean, I'm sure it's offensive because he's called it. It's got to
be another gay reference.
That's what we were wondering. Yeah. I did not like that kid. Like, I don't like that kid.
Okay.
But he ended up with the hot girl.
I don't understand how.
They like bad boys.
I think she was bored.
She's bored. She wants to make her dad mad.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
Get some attention there. Mm-hmm. Change her image.
Who knows?
I did not like how she thought she needed to put makeup or do a makeover for Allison either.
Like, I laughed out loud. Like, unironically, she came out, she looked like a cake or something.
Like, she looks so plain or something like that.
Oh, yeah,
like
there's
that
too. She, like they brought her out, like, this is beautiful. And the actress, I'm sure, is, but what they brought out was such a stock, like, it almost made me think of, do you remember Pleasantville?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Like that sort of time, you're boring looking. Whatever she did to you took away character.
Yeah. Big time.
And now you're supposed to be gorgeous?
You?
What?
Yeah. Like, oh, I can make you look better. Mm. Oh. Yeah. Okay. Anything else that we want to say about The Breakfast Club? No? You guys, do you know what this is? What this episode represents? The end of this episode represents?
Is it our year long?
No, we are a year in. We are.
The beginning of Spooky October?
Yes. So next week, you guys, is Spooky October starts.
Did you hear how the...
So I'm scared. Like, man, Predator would have been in October.
Nope.
No. If it weren't for Predator.
So for me, that was scary.
You're not going to
No, it's not spooky.
Okay, so it's scary October.
So it's October, we have Alien...
Mm-hmm. Alien. That's what we're starting with.
Start with Alien. We're doing Halloween.
Yep. So that, because the new Halloween's coming out. So we'll do
doing in October. American Wolf in London.
Correct.
Is that a scary movie? A spooky movie?
Oh, it's definitely scary.
Okay. Well, it's not Teen Wolf. You're right. No.
It's definitely scary. And then what was the other one?
We were going to do The Thing.
The Thing.
Ooh. Yeah.
Did you already say Friday the 13th?
No.
And we're doing Friday the 13th.
Because we have five three. Mondays. Friday the 13th,
and Friday the 13th, five Friday the 13th part three.
Part three. I am really nervous.
You're going to get through these.
Man.
Because they're great watches and they're great to discuss. The Thing has so much to talk about outside of the aliens.
I didn't know that was it was an alien.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler.
What?
No, they tell you right up front, like the Predator.
Didn't we literally just talk about how the opening scene of Predator is a spaceship flying in exactly the same as the
you
Thing?
You know what? I was thinking Swamp Thing. Is the You know thing what? All right. All right. Is this Wait, different?
Yes,
it's different. I don't know anything about that. We're in the
episode
thing.
Now.
Is it a remake of The Thing from Outer Space or something like that?
It's a remake from the 50s.
So oh, yeah, it was literally in the old title was like The Thing from Outer Space.
Cool.
Swamp Thing.
It's an 80s movie, isn't it?
Yeah.
Also, the Toxic Avenger.
I was not doing Avenger. That apparently, but we're
going to do those two.
That's not the thing. Interesting. Yeah, the all thing. Right.
All right.
So
the thing is interesting.
We'll be back with Alien.
Yep.
1979. 78.
Do we have thoughts? Do we want to put thoughts on Mike?
You can. I thought it was dumb but entertaining. That was very dumb, but very entertaining. But
I stupid. Hated it.
None of it made sense.
Ashley and I hated the Predator.
I was offended that Shane Black did such an abomination.
All right, we'll be back next week.
We'll be back.